Our reading is from a very familiar story this morning in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. It's about Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples continued their travel, Jesus entered a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him, made him feel quite at home. She had a sister Mary who sat before the master, hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen, and later she stepped in, interrupting them. "Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Now tell her to go lend me a hand." And the master said, "Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing too much, and you're getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course, and it won't be taken from her." May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. I think we can probably all feel a certain sympathy for Martha. I mean, imagine. Jesus is coming for dinner. Okay? If you got that news, how would you be feeling right now? Would you be feeling any anxiety at all? Oh my goodness. The house is a mess. Better get it cleaned up fast. Okay, what do I clean first? What do I pick up first? Okay, oh, I've got to fix something for dinner. I better... Frenzy. Fear. Anxiety. Because if Jesus is coming, it's got to be the best. Yes? I mean, even in terms of worship. We have many perfectionists, leaders within the church, who can't handle anything below perfection. So if something is out of whack in a service, that's dishonoring God somehow. If something is not just like a certain way, we have to give our best because after all, it's Jesus. Well, yes and no. Yes and no. She's back working in the kitchen. Okay, that was a known thing, especially with women. You were supposed to, if somebody came to your house, especially then, because when people were traveling then, it was dangerous. And so when you offered hospitality, there was a need for real hospitality. They needed good food. They needed a place to rest. They needed to be encouraged and comforted. And so she wanted to provide that. And especially being a woman, that's what you did. You were supposed to be not with the guests necessarily. You were supposed to be back there preparing for the guest. And I can just see her mind racing back in the kitchen as she's cooking. This isn't right. How come it all falls on me? Mary's out there. She's not even supposed to be out there. What is she doing? You can just feel the blood pressure going up. You can feel the emotion ramping up. You can feel the anger. And she's trying to keep self-control, but she's just ready to explode. I need to say something, she's thinking. I need to hold it in. I need to be courteous. I don't want to look like a fool in front of Jesus. That would be embarrassing. But something needs to be said. So she pulls herself together. And she goes out. Tries to be very demure. Very proper. Deep breath. Deep breath. Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned her duties in the kitchen? And Jesus doesn't quite react the way she expects. He's a man. He's familiar with the culture. The obvious thing is he would say, "Of course, Mary, go help your sister." Right? Problem solved. Of course, I think we know what would have happened if he had and Mary had gone back to the kitchen. Can you imagine the conversation? Mary, what the hell were you thinking? You're supposed to be in here helping me, not out there. Now, come on. Let's get busy. We've got a lot to do here. Things would explode. They wouldn't be too loving. And Jesus does something surprising. He says that what Mary is doing is actually right. How weird is that? What Mary is doing is right? And that she has chosen wisely? And something about that, not the food, being the main course? What in the world is going on here? What in the world is going on? A radical new way of looking at things. And something. Now, this passage may seem an odd choice during a time of so much chaos in the world right now and so much tragedy. We're talking about two women and one fighting about the kitchen. But there's a deeper, more important message for us that in a way is all the more important in this chaos. You see, we get so caught up in the doing. And it's not that that doing is not important. But there's a list of priorities, in a way, that we sometimes get confused. And when we're frustrated, or when we're discouraged, or when we don't feel good about ourselves, a lot of times doing stuff can help us to make us feel like at least something's happening, right? Okay, so you're maybe having a bad day and you're trying to think of, okay, what is something that I could do that would make me feel better? And so you do something tangible and yeah, you think, okay, well, at least I got the dishes done. It may have been a bad day, but I got something done. I got the lawn mowed. I got the kids picked up from school. I got the laundry done. So we can think of all these things and we feel like somehow a difference is being made. Somehow we're making progress. And that's not that those are bad things. But what Jesus was trying to do for Martha is something that we need to hear too. And that is knowing where the starting place is. And the starting place is being centered in Jesus. And by that, being reminded of what is really, really important in our day-to-day lives. Funny thing about dishes is no matter how many times you do them, they'll still be there. That lawn is still going to need to be mowed, right? The dusting still needs to happen, the cleaning, the cooking, all that stuff. It's like the old story about Sisyphus and the rock, and where he pushes and pushes, and it's so hard, he pushes and pushes it up the top, and then only to see it roll back down the hill and starting all over. I think we all have our Sisyphus moments on a regular basis. And what Jesus is saying is, yes, there are things that we need to do, tangible things, but those things don't define who we are. And those things should not take over when there are other things that are more important. Mary knew she had this opportunity. Jesus was right there. He was sharing things that she could learn from, things that would change her life, things that were critical. She had this opportunity. She got that. She knew that the food would always need to be prepared, that they would get something to eat when the time came. But right now, Jesus was there. And Martha, in all of her busyness, didn't have time. Didn't have time to hear what could have been the life-changing message that she needed to hear. Our problem in this world is that our busyness continues to get in the way of what's really important in our lives. It continues to distract us while at the same time giving us a false sense that we've accomplished something. Now, another part of the story is seeing how Martha, with good intentions, got things backwards. And in doing so, her emotions went out of control. She was angry. It was, instead of bringing out the best, even though she had these good intentions, it was bringing out the worst. Something that could only escalate. You and I, we have a great deal of sadness for what is going on in the world right now. And I don't think there's one person in this room that wouldn't like to change things if we could. And we often feel very helpless. What can I do? What can I do? Not realizing that a good part of Jesus' message, not just to Mary and Martha at that time, was about the being, the importance of being, but that how the doing can deceive us and lead us in all kinds of crazy directions. As I was thinking about this passage, I was reminded early on in some of the counseling courses that I took, something that sort of shocked me when I first heard it. It was the message that the only thing that I could change was myself. That's it. That's all any of us can change is ourselves. That's all. We cannot change anyone else. And if you've been trying, you better give up now, because it will not happen. We can change us. The second thing was that if you change one thing in the system, it impacts and changes the rest of the system. Which tells us, if we focus on changing ourselves, if we just change ourselves, we have an impact. We are creating change. It's not exactly intuitive, but it's true. If we change ourselves. Now, let me give you an example with Martha. Martha, being where she was in the context of that situation, was becoming angry. And that anger was bringing out the worst in her. She could not change what was going on. She could not change the situation. She could not change her sister. But she could change her and how she chose to deal with the situation. And you and I, like Martha, are continually in situations that bring up feelings and that sometimes cause us to act out in ugly ways. But you see, when we start with Jesus, when we start with a message of love, when we start with a sense of what our real identity is, when we know who we are and who we're called to be, that changes us. It changes us in our interactions. It changes how we deal with people. It changes us in our choices. And that, in turn, changes everything around us. One of the ways that I learned that lesson, oddly enough, has been at the seminary at different times when I've been in different meetings that could have gone strangely. There was one where there was an effort to get a lot of opinions, and the opinions were very nasty, but somehow the meeting became stabilized, and it was weird when I had people who came up to me afterwards and said, "I'm so glad you were at that meeting. You helped us to stay under control." I still don't quite get that, although I sometimes joke about being the human tranquilizer gun. Now, I share that not as something patting myself on the back. I need to make this clear. But I share it because a lot of times we underestimate the power of presence and the power of being. Every single one of us has a God-given power to spread joy, to spread love, and to spread peace simply by the way we choose to be in the moment and by what we put first. When Jesus is at the helm, when our focus is on what he calls us to be, everything changes. Everything. My prayer is that somehow we can hear that. Somehow that we can be both the Mary and the Martha in the best sense. Still be doing, but recognizing the primary importance of the being and the embracing of Christ as our first priority. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, living in the now, living in the moment, being present, putting you first. These are not easy when we're slammed in every direction with so many things going on, so many distractions, so much to do. But we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be centered in you and in this moment with you. In your name we pray. Amen.